Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most.
Whether it's reactions,
matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
It is time. Ohio State, Oregon, the rematch. And this is all about vibes. Where's your vibe at with this game?
It's not high, and I feel like I might be the only person on the planet that is not high. There's something about the Tennessee game that just remains, it's not fraudulent, that's not what I'm trying to say. The idea that Tennessee is anything more than just a mid, they're what, the third, fourth best team? I guess it's more than mid, but like they're just not a great SEC team, and I just watched Alabama just get run out of the building by Michigan. I think the SEC is down this year. I'm not impressed with a lot of what the SEC is doing, and I have a hard time thinking that it was anything more than the stars aligning. In a game that Tennessee, by the way, didn't have the, you know, SEC Offensive Player of the Year in Samson.
Yeah, I mean, I think Oregon as an undefeated team could be classified as fraudulent. They're a really good team, but they're not. You know, it does feel like every year we have some unbeaten team, and sometimes you look at them and go, how can anyone beat that team? Georgia's been that team. Clemson's been that team. Alabama's been that team. Yeah. Ohio State's been that team. That's not what this Oregon team is. They're a really, really, really good team.
I mean, they got the best regular season out of anybody.
But if you take away the records, Ohio State and Oregon, I think, are very similar teams in terms of the upside of talent. Yeah. So, and by the way, I think you can say that the defense, there's a better defense Ohio State has now than or at least stylistically, it's different.
For sure.
Than that first game. I think that really does. If that was a one-point game then and the defense is better or stylistically better, yeah, I think you – I like
– Yeah.
The secondary, Nick,
hasn't given up a touchdown since that Oregon game.
I just feel like – I feel more confident going into this game that it's going to be a really good game than I had any level of any kind of feel for the Tennessee game. I didn't see them smoking Tennessee that way.
Where I'm battling here, though, is I'm battling with the idea that I think Ohio State's got a lot of talent. I know Ohio State has a lot of talent. I think I've made jokes about Dylan Gabriel. Like, you can't be an Oompa Loompa and be my quarterback, okay? You must be this tall to ride the ride.
What'd you call him? Discount Tua?
Welfare Tua, yeah.
Say it with such bravado. That's like the take is good, but then you sell it in such a way. The little extra English you put on it really is where it becomes one of my favorite takes you have. Well, whether I agree or not is not the point.
But the problem, though, is that he had so much time in that first matchup. He just had so much time. And he got few pressures. He wasn't even sacked once. Like, he just had so much time.
No, he's proof if you do 8 years in college, eventually you'll have great year or two.
Nick, he's 24 years old.
Yeah, he's a grown man.
Is he older than Joe Burrow?
I heard he's actually a grandfather. Baby's not here yet, but it will. Yeah, by the time he gets to the NFL next year,
he will be a grandfather. Then had the code year. It's one of those weird things with him. I can't buy into him. I know he's not an NFL player. I know that. With certainty, I know that.
By the way, just as a quick sidebar, everybody realizes because we have 26-year-old quarterbacks in college that's why the parity in college is off the charts, right?
It's not the transfers?
But that's a point. Is like, you know, Dylan Gabriel's on school number three, and he's a grown-ass man. We have grown-ass men playing quarterback in the NFL, playing 6, 7, 8 years. Yeah, sure, make fun of the Utah kid for going on 8 years. There's like 3 or 4 kids that 8, 9 years deep. The kid from the tight end from Miami that just retired after 9 years in college. Make fun of it. Be outrageous as you want. That's part of the reason why, like, quarterback play is at an all-time high in terms of just good quarterbacks in college football, because they've been around since the 1700s.
Yeah, and someone like Dillon Gabriel is going to make more money at Oregon than he is going to be in a third round, or not third round, excuse me, day three pick in the NFL.
I'm doing the McCord. I'm trying to find how can I turn this into a second year at Oregon and a seven-figure payday?
Yeah.
Because it's why McCord. Like, McCord probably could be a fourth rounder. Like, I don't love his lack of mobility. I still think he's massively overrated as a player. But I think in this draft class, yeah. I mean, I think McCord and Ewers are probably in the same category of they're going to get pushed up the draft boards. And yet, Kyle McCord can make more money playing another year at Syracuse than he can be on that first rookie deal in the NFL.
Yeah, the dynamics of college football has changed so much just in that conversation.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to me.
And again, in that case, it's good for the NFL. But specific to this, like, I don't know. I think there's a world in where, to some degree, Ryan Day is coaching for his job tomorrow, whether it's out there and everybody knows it or not.
For sure he is. Like, he's got to be, well, right?
And it's not necessarily win or lose. It's about how does it look. Like, if you lose the same way you lost, where it's just it's one play.
I don't know. I do think it can be as simple as win or lose.
Ooh, no. No, because I think
he can lose. I'm thinking more about the winning part of this. Like, if he wins, then he makes it to the third round. And I think Bjork just has so much invested in him financially and everything. And the recruiting class has been really good. I think if he wins, I think that'll be enough.
Here's the thing. It's specific to this game. Because also, if Oregon goes on and wins a national championship, and it's the Georgia thing, right? You were one field goal kick away from beating Georgia. You beat that Georgia team. You win the national title. That was the national championship game.
Yeah.
I think some people view it that way. I don't mean this.
People definitely do.
I have said, I think Ross Bjork is a haircut. I think he is there to get in a room. I do. I think he's there to be really good looking and raise money. I think he knows where his bread is buttered, and it's not hiring coaches. So I think because he is a fundraiser, his decision, it's not just about win or lose. How it looks does matter, because I think Bjork is smart enough to know if the money's still flowing in, don't fire the guy. But if people start pulling their money, if it's an embarrassing loss, that's the scenario where all of a sudden I do think Ryan Day. To me, it's just don't get blown out. Don't be embarrassed.
I don't think a blowout is on the table, because if you look at, they played three different playoff teams, right? They played Boise State. Boise State put 30 on him. That's the game that Genty went for 200 yards and three touchdowns we discussed earlier. Ohio State put up 30 as well. And the Penn State game, Penn State also got to 30 as well. Now, they ran like crazy. I think they had like 300 yards on the ground too. And that's the interesting part about this game to me, Nick. You're going to be able to score, but will it turn into a Will Howard versus Dillon Gabriel shootout, or are they going to go back to what they were doing prior to the Tennessee game, and they're going to try to do the mix of pass and run, and you're going to have Judkins, sorry, Jess, and you're going to have Henderson in there, and you're going to have a run game, which is something that they just completely shied away from the Tennessee game.
I think you have to keep it through the air, because I think your explosive plays are the way you win not just this game, but a national championship. But I think the difference is, I can't remember which guest it was before the Tennessee game. I think it was Neuheisel. Neuheisel said they're going to pass so they can run. And there were a couple people mocking that on social media. And I was like, no, that's the way this needs to be set up. You don't have a great offensive line, either in pass pro or in run pro. So the simplest way to take pressure off that O-line and get that running game going is Jeremiah Smith and Emeka Ogbuka. That really is. Like, if you don't have, and because here's the thing, Judkins and Henderson, they've been really good this year. Behind the next level offensive line, their numbers would be twice as good as they are.
Yeah,
they're fine, but they're both tremendous. Like, we're talking great college football and probably NFL running backs that have, honestly, their performance has been hampered to some degree by a bad offensive line or an inconsistent offensive line. So to me, like, I still expect 60% passes to 40% runs. But I think you got to establish the pass early to open up the run and just pry open that Oregon defense. So all of a sudden, instead of Quinshon running into an 8-man box, a 7-man box, they're both him and Travion are running into lighter boxes.
Yeah, I mean, I just look at like the Penn State Oregon game, for instance. Oregon was up at the half by a big number, right?
Yeah.
And Penn State was still running the ball. What are you laughing at?
Inside joke. Tell you off air.
I missed it.
It's okay. 216.
Penn State ran the ball 34 times. Drew Aller, your guy, threw the ball 39 times.
That was really good football analysis, by the way. Don't let my immaturity and my smirking get in the way of your good analysis. It's really good analysis.
I want to be in on the joke.
I can't really retell the joke on air because then all of a sudden I can't get away with it being a sly joke that I made on the sly.
Nitty gritty football?
No, it's perfect. It was not about you.
It felt nitty gritty.
Me being immature. Now,
okay.
We're talking about whether
Ryan
Day.
Are you talking downtown?
All the way downtown. So while we're talking about Ryan Day coaching for his job, Ian Rappaport on the NFL Network went into the Browns' decision to let Mike Vrabel out of his contract 6 days earlier than need be, and it's not all about the pro game.
Mike Vrabel's consulting contract with the Cleveland Browns, that expired today. But the timing is significant here as well. Mike Vrabel has been linked to the Ohio State job, which is not open. Ryan Day is still the head coach at Ohio State. But they play on Wednesday if something really terrible happens and they decided to make a change. Wouldn't be surprised to see Ohio State take a look at Vrabel as well.
All right, first on the market on this one.
Yeah, what do you got?
Mike Vrabel, under no circumstances, is going to Ohio State, but his agent knows that the best thing you can have is leverage, and the Ohio State job has every bit, from the outside, of a real dangerous threat to Mike Vrabel and might make somebody jump on Mike Vrabel a little bit quicker.
So I don't think he's going, but I do think it's interesting that yesterday we had a discussion about how bad the NFL openings are.
Mm-hmm.
How there's not one that's great. If the Patriots job becomes open, I do think that'd be really appetizing to him. Number one overall pick. You got the franchise quarterback. There's a lot there. He's in the Patriots Hall of Fame. There's a lot there. I still think the Bears job is good, but I think the Bears are leaning Ben Johnson at this point. I don't know that Vrabel's going to win that one out. And outside of that, I mean, they all kind of stink. Like Breer was out at 3 o'clock. He's like, oh yeah, he might go with Brady and the Raiders. What?
Yeah, the worst NFL job is better than the best college job right now. Mike Vrabel hated college football a decade ago.
I know, but it's changed though.
It's not changed in the better. It hasn't changed for a guy like that.
Boomeranging in a different direction. Like the reason why Saban and all these guys left is because they didn't want to do the recruiting and also do the transfer and deal with all that stuff. Belichick's never going to go in these houses. Belichick's not hitting the pavement. He's not doing any recruiting.
Yeah, but he's still going to have to hit that text at 3 a.m. You up, King?
Yeah, that's
like
fine.
That's so much worse.
I can do that from a comfy couch.
Yeah, no. That's not more work.
300 miles every
than
weekend.
Traveling.
The traveling would stink.
I shouldn't say it's more work, but it's as much work as those two things. If Belichick went, I guess I can't just say he definitively won't go back to college. And Columbus, I know, has some special allure. We've had Bobby Carpenter on.
He was very adamant.
Said definitively. He sold his house. He's not going back. He has no interest in it. And I'm going to take his word on that. And I really do think, I think this is a case of Mike Vrabel's agent knowing that if you say the difference between Mike Vrabel going to Chicago and New England, all right, and maybe that's not going to motivate a team. There might not be the same fear of loss, right? Because you can just say, well, we think we have the better job. If home is calling, it is the ultimate leverage play. I just think it's plain as day.
I don't know.
I mean, the fact that Rappaport and Schefter carry more water for NFL agents than anybody in the history of water or agents. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say this is a leverage play.
You might be right, and I still think it takes a million dominoes for it to fall any other way. But I think the fact that we all know these NFL jobs right now, it's not great.
So Ben Johnson to Chicago is the domino.
You need Ben Johnson to Chicago. Okay. Then you also need Ryan Day to lose tomorrow.
Okay, and Gerard Mayo to keep his job.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there's a lot of things.
All right. Is there a fourth domino, or are those the only three dominoes?
Those are three pretty big dominoes.
Well, yeah, one of them's feasible. One of them could happen, but I think the way it looks matters. I mean,
you've done a lot of three-team parlays with FanDuel. You know those are hard to hit.
Everybody knows Nikki Dubs and
you got
three
some plus
ways.
Like 650 on
That's
these
just
odds.
The way she
plus 750.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where we're at. Talking downtown.
I let you say it that time.
216-474-0092. Is Mike Vrabel using Ohio State as leverage? Because here's the thing. Why it does matter is this report is the kind of thing that could make Ohio State go, well, we lost by a touchdown. the fan, you know, Ross Bjork, oh, they're starting to pull their money. All right, we're going to go get Vrabel. Problem is, Vrabel's not going to talk to you about that job with Ryan Day in it. And then when you fire Ryan Day, if it turns out Mike Vrabel was just using you as leverage, you could be in the ultimate worst situation, which is not getting, I think, the only guy you might be able to sell as a definitive upgrade or move in the right direction. Everybody else might be a good hire, but you need definitive. If you're going to move on from a guy with that.
It would be an absolute disaster if they fired Ryan Day and then weren't able to land Vrabel.
Which is exactly what happens when you fire a guy, no matter what I think of Ryan Day. And you know, after the Michigan loss, this last one, I was like, I got no more defense of that guy. That being said, this is the kind of thing that happens when you fire a guy with that much success, whether we think he could do better or not. Dave Biddle, editor of Bucknuts on 24/7. We're going to talk Ohio State, Oregon tomorrow, New Year's Day, 5 p.m. kickoff, the Rose Bowl. Dave, next on 92.3 The Fan.